Hello everyone, I hope that everybody's doing well. Thank you so much for joining me in these conversations. Today I am going to be talking about why I stopped teaching yoga and why I completely let go of that label and I let go of anything that has to do with yoga. But I feel that before I start explaining the why, I should share my story with yoga and how I became involved with it. So this was 19 years ago. I was living in Mexico and this was before my daughter was born. I started practicing yoga. I was living in Playa del Carmen, Quintana Roo, which this area is now known as the Riviera Mayan. I personally don't like that name. I feel that name was given in order to corrupt the area. And yes, I personally have a lot of mixed feelings in regards to that area right now and what's happened there. But yeah, I was living there. I had left home. I left home when I was very young. I was 19 and I moved there on my own. And it was some of the most amazing years in my life. I could definitely say that whenever I think back at that time in my life, it was amazing. It was a very small town. It was a fisherman's village. It was just amazing. It was not really corrupted. There was some gringos living there. And also I want to state that gringos is not just American people. It can be Canadians, it can be Europeans, just anybody that is not from Mexico. So there were gringos living there, but it was very, very mellow. I feel that the people that was living there at that time, most of them, not all of them, but most of them were very, very conscious about what they were doing. A lot of the people that were living there, Europeans and American people, they had gone there to escape, you know, from their situations in Europe or the States. You know, they wanted to have a better quality of life, and most of those people, they were, you know, radical people that they were not agreeing with the way of living from Europe or the States. So it was a really, really amazing community. I loved it. And that's when I started practicing yoga. And as you can imagine, when I started practicing yoga back then, almost 20 years ago now, actually, it was just mellow. It was just about people coming together and practicing yoga to connect with your body and to connect with your breath. And it really resonated with me. Just felt so good to have that awareness of my body. I have already been very aware of my body. Like, I was already very aware of my body since I was a little girl. So much that that's the main reason why I never really practice any extreme sports, because I was just never wanted to do anything that could cause any injury or harm my body on a physical level. So I always avoided any of those extreme sports or any sports that could hurt me on a physical level. So yoga felt really good for me. I felt that I was fully connecting with my body and my breath, and I loved it and continued to do that throughout my pregnancy and even after Maya was born. But when Maya was born, we started traveling. My husband at that time and now ex-husband, we went on a trip around Mexico. We got rid of everything. We put all our belongings in our car and we just started traveling all over Mexico, pretty much living from our car and camping and living in cabañas and shacks. And it was amazing. We were living most of the time on the coast, the Pacific coast in Mexico, and we were going inland, of course, just some beautiful places. It was amazing because after Maya was born, a lot of people were trying to put a lot of fear in us, and we wanted to prove that we could continue our lifestyle and, you know, enjoy our beautiful daughter. And that's what we did. We ended up going to this small town on the Pacific coast in Mexico. And that's when my practice with yoga became stronger. And at the time, we had to make a decision of what we were going to do. We were very young when we had our daughter. So, you know, we still had a lot of, you know, years or time that, you know, to decide what we wanted to do. So we decided that we wanted to go back to school. And since I was very involved in yoga, for me was already set. I wanted to go to study yoga. I'm a perfectionist. And whenever I'm going to do something, I want to know everything about it. So I already knew I wanted to keep practicing yoga and I wanted to be fully involved in it. But for me, I felt like I needed to have a training or going to school and completely learn everything about it. So that's what I did and that's what we did. So actually, the main reason why I moved to this country was to become a yoga instructor. That was our goal. We were just going to come here for school. And as soon as that was done, we were going to go back to Mexico. And that's what pretty much we did. So we found ourselves moving to San Francisco. My main practice was with Iyengar yoga, and I really wanted to keep that practice. So I found the Iyengar Institute in San Francisco, and I thought to myself, I need to do this. So we didn't. We came here, and I found these cute studio very close from the neighborhood where we lived in San Francisco, and I started practicing. I applied to the institute and I was accepted, and I was really excited, you know, for what was coming. At the time, I must say I wasn't aware of the reality, you know, the big picture of things as I am right now. I was young, I had just moved to this country. My experience growing up in Mexico is very, very different to what most people have experienced in this country. So I was in my early 20s, living in San Francisco, studying yoga, taking care of my child, just having a new family, you know. I felt like life was good, and it was good. And here I was, you know, studying yoga and following my dream of learning everything that I could learn about yoga. When I started practicing, I started noticing some things that at the time, now I can put a name to that, to those feelings, to those things that I was seeing. But at the time, I couldn't really put a name to it or explain it. You know, I was having like full conversations with my husband at the time that there was just something that he didn't resonate with me. There was just something that fell off. And I was telling him, I don't know, just maybe it's the gringo culture, you know, but it's very strange to me. And what it was strange to me was to see that in my eyes, seeing it as an outsider, because I was just beginning my journey in yoga. I mean, I had been practicing yoga in Mexico, but the way that I was doing it in Mexico was like, I never really paid for classes. It was all donation-based classes. It was all people that I knew when we would gather. And every time after class, we would have breakfast. Everybody would bring a dish and share stories. My daughter, as a baby, she was there. I never had the yoga clothing. I never had the fancy yoga mat. You know, I actually didn't even have a yoga mat. I was using one of those Mexican blankets. So my first experience with yoga in Mexico was completely different than what I was experiencing in San Francisco within the yoga community, as you can imagine. So I was feeling a little bit off, but I was thinking to myself, you know, I mean, I guess maybe this is the way it is here. You know, this is their home. This is their culture. I am just coming into it and I'm just going to get what it serves me. You know, like I'm just going to grab what it serves me, and what it doesn't serve me, I'm just going to let it go. And I was having that mentality, and I was having continuous conversations with my ex-husband about this, and he was completely understanding, because although he is American and he's a white man, he had been living in Mexico for a long time, since he was a teenager. And also his experience in Mexico, you know, was different, and he became accustomed to that culture, and American culture was very strange for him as well. So I was just having an open mind, and I kept doing it. And whatever it didn't resonate with me, whatever felt off, I was just putting it to the side. And there were many things that felt off, you know, like I was always by myself, you know, whenever in class, I would just sort of look the corner and be in the corner. Like people would not come to me and like try to talk to me. Or if they did, you know, it was to just share conversation, and normally there was always the subtle racism that I call it, you know, like good, well-intentioned white people that are just clueless and are racist, but they don't know it, right? And they think they're just nice people. And they were just coming, mostly women, of course, mostly white women. And they were just coming to me and just saying the most ridiculous comments, you know, like, of course, with my accent, as you can hear, you know, I have a deep accent because English is not my first language. And they would just make comments about my ethnicity and, you know, that I looked exotic and all that stuff. So I really avoided making any friendships or making any connection with people, because I just didn't want to have to listen to those conversations or those comments, you know? Another thing that I noticed, it was how it was so important, you know, about the clothing and the fashion. And I would see people, you know, practicing yoga and everybody looking at each other about, you know, who's more flexible and, you know, all that. I would see, you know, people being self-conscious and how that was very important. I also noticed how even the teachers, you know, when they were teaching, it was a lot of like showing off. And I was a beginning. I was not flexible at all. Even up to this day, I am not flexible. And I am okay with that. But at the beginning, it was very intimidating for me, because I felt that in order to be a yoga instructor, in order to be completely fully immersed in yoga, I had to be flexible, right? I had to do the handstands and headstands and like put my foot over my head and doing all of that. And I couldn't. Yoga brought an amazing sense of peace, and connecting with my breath was also just one of the most important things for me. But here I was in this world, in this setup, and I felt that I needed to, you know, work harder to be flexible. While I was in the training, there was many things that I started noticing, how the teachers would come and tell us, you need to remember this for your test. Or this is what we're going to be asking your test, so you have to remember this for your test. And that was like very strange to me, because I wanted to study yoga, not because I wanted to be like the best teacher ever in the world, or I wanted to be super flexible. I wanted to learn yoga because I wanted this to be part of my lifestyle, to be part of the way that I was thinking, the way that I was seeing the world. I could care less about a test, you know? And that's when I started feeling a little bit of mixed feelings in regards to this, because it just didn't make sense to me. All my teachers were white. There was no people of color that were teachers. All the teachers were white women. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it. Today, I do. Today, and a lot of my decision of why I stopped teaching yoga or being involved with yoga had to do with that. Had to do because everything that I learned about yoga came from white people. And I feel that it's not okay for me personally. So, yeah, it was many years of really questioning everything. And then I decided that I needed to try every single yoga class, every single style. And here I was living in San Francisco, right? I mean, it's like sort of the mecca for yoga. And you know how a lot of the studios, they have the 1 week for free, you know, and then you can try it. So that's what I did. I actually went to every single studio in San Francisco and I tried every single yoga class that they offered with every single teacher, because, you know, I was taking advantage of the free week as first time student. And I think I was even more disappointed than I was prior to do that. I was really trying to look for something that resonated with my spirit, with who I am. And I was not able to find it. And I was very, very disappointed, because I came to this country to become a yoga instructor. That was why I came here. I didn't come here to improve my life, because in Mexico I didn't have a good life. Not at all. Actually, my life in Mexico has always been way better than the life I've had in this country. And I can say that with complete assurance and power and strength. And so here I was in this country to do that. And I was not feeling satisfied at all. I was seeing a lot of hypocrisy, and that school was expensive, and I had to take workshops. I took many workshops with Judith Lasseter and some of other, you know, famous yoga people, and part of, you know, the whole curriculum, and it was expensive. And I remember that while I was attending those workshops, immersions and all of that, we thought that we were changing the world, you know? We were there and like we were all happy and we all are one and, you know, all of that stuff. And then I was leaving that studio, leaving wherever I was, and here I was seeing another reality, you know, homeless people. And I started becoming aware of the racial discrimination that happens in San Francisco. I worked for an immigration law firm, and I worked at a charter high school, and those two jobs showed me a reality of this country that I honestly was not aware of. I shared a little bit of my introduction about who I am and where I come from, and although there is classism and colorism in Mexico, and those things are for real, also living in Mexico at the time, of course, when people talked about Estados Unidos, United States, There was a lot of things of this culture that Mexican people were aware that it's fucked up. But at the same time, there's this brainwashing ideas that, oh, they're perfect, you know? They have everything good. Their streets are clean. Their taxes do work, you know, because their streets are paved. The streets are clean. Nobody throws trash. Nobody, you know, everything works in the Estados Unidos. So that was my idea as well. Like, oh, Estados Unidos, you know, is not racist anymore. You know, they're good people. And when I started noticing that, it was a complete shock for me. Complete shock. I started noticing very, very well when I was working at the immigration law firm. It was so right there in my face. And as an immigrant myself, you know, it was very shocking to start seeing that truth, you know. But then, you know, here I was, you know, after work, after seeing that reality, going into these yoga spaces, the spiritual spaces, and listening and hearing how we're saving the world with our chanting and our love and light shit. And I was like, this is not really happening. Like, there is people suffering there. And no matter how many songs here we chant or kirtans I attend or immersions, yoga retreats I attend, this shit is not fucking changing any fucking thing. So I was shocked. I was really shocked. But I still wanted yoga to be part of my life. So I actually stepped out of the Anger Institute. I finished most of it, but I just couldn't be part of it. It was just too much for me. And I attended another school and I got my certification. I have many certifications and trainings and all these hours, you know, which honestly at this moment I really don't give a fuck about that. But I finished and I said to myself, I am going to embrace yoga the way that it serves me, and I am going to share yoga in the way that it doesn't intimidate people and it serves people. And that's what I did. And like I said, we had just come here to study, to go to school. And then when we finished, we went back to Mexico and we did that. And I went to Mexico and I opened my yoga studio there. And I was teaching full time back at home. And I always focus on the breath. And I never mixed the spiritual side of yoga, which is Hinduism, with the Hatha yoga part. Never. I was just practicing Hatha yoga. I was super into the physiology and biology part of it, with the breath and the muscles and connecting with your body. I was super into that. And I was teaching Iyengar-based classes, all about listening, holding the poses. And I started merging my work around letting go of our domestications with yoga, because I have always had that idea. So I have always known that we have our true essence, but somewhere along the way it got lost due to the domestications and the programming that our society has given to us, either the society or our upbringing. We are a product of our upbringing and the society. So I was merging all of that. I was merging yoga with telling people to connect with themselves, that everything that we needed is within ourselves, not to worry about whether they're flexible or not to worry about any of that stuff. And a lot of people really enjoy my classes. A lot of people really love that about that way of teaching, you know. And a lot of people I was teaching to local Mexican people and I was teaching to foreigners. I've always lived in touristy places. I've always lived in boom towns, I call them, because whenever I have arrived into a town in Mexico, there were just small fishermen villages. They were just, you know, mellow, small, not really full of foreigners. And then they just became boom towns. That happened to Playa del Carmen, and that happened to many other places where I lived. So also Puerto Escondido, Oaxaca. That's where I was living for a long time, and that's where I had my yoga studio. So a lot of people, honestly, from all over the world were coming and taking my classes, and they would share how they really enjoyed my classes because I was having another take on it. You know, I was really allowing people to connect with themselves and to connect with their body. So I felt like, yes, you know, like this has always been what I wanted to create, because when I was involved in studying and in the States, you know, I could see how it was very hypocrite and completely not in alignment to my reality and even to the reality of the world. Another thing that I want to state is that as I was being, you know, very involved in the yoga communities in San Francisco, in California, because I was traveling, you know, taking trainings, taking retreats, I also had a little bit of pressure of everybody, when are you going to go to India? But you have to go to India. After you finish your training, you have to go to India. I'm a rebel. Normally when people tell me, go do this, I will go and do the total opposite. And I'm like, I will never go to India. What's the point? And this is why I decided also not to go to yoga. First, because I thought to myself, not because I'm starting yoga here in this country with white people, it means that I know anything about this culture. And as an indigenous Mexican woman who grew up in the lands we know as Mexico, and I've traveled to Guatemala, Belize, and I lived also in Europe, but just thinking about these lands, and I travel all over Mexico, I have seen extreme poverty. Nobody has told me about it. I didn't see it in a documentary. I've seen it with my eyes. So I think to myself, why would I want to go to a country where people live in extreme poverty, and I am going to get there with my privilege to study yoga or to go to an ashram? That's fucked up. If I am going to spend money to go on a vacation, I am not going to go to a place to perpetuate colonialism, because I have seen how foreigners do that in my own lands. So why would I go to other lands and do the same? So up to this day, I haven't been in India, and I don't plan to ever go to India, because I don't want to go to a place where people are suffering. They might be happy, just like Mexican people are happy. But me, as a foreigner, as an indigenous woman, I know what colonialism, what capitalism has done to my people, to my lands. I am not going to be perpetuating the same in another country. So at the time, you know, that was the conversation, and I became very clear of why I didn't want to go to India. And up to this day, I still have the same feelings. So yes, a lot of people, you know, were really in tune and connected with my teaching, and I loved it. I honestly enjoyed teaching yoga. It was just part of my life 24/7. I was teaching workshops. I was super involved. You know, I had all the goodies, you know, the yoga mats, the yoga clothing, everything that has to do with the chakras, the books for the mudras, the chanting, all of it. The there was one thing that never resonated with me, and that has to do with the dogmatic part of yoga, which is, has to do with Hinduism. I noticed that whenever I was taking trainings or immersions, and you know, we would get to the part of the bhakti yoga and the chanting and kirtans and all of that, I struggle with it. I never sang, I never chanted, I would just actually not even stand up. I would just sit down and do my thing. And I remember people would ask me, like, why don't you stand up? Why don't you chant? And I'm like, no, this is not part of my traditions. This is not part of me, and I don't want to do this. This just doesn't resonate. I personally dislike any of the images of the goddess and gods of Hinduism. I feel, for me, they feel a little bit demonic, to be honest. They look, and I don't like them. They don't resonate with me at all. I never had images. I've always connected with, you know, stones and things like that, with nature. But I never had images. I never had an altar where I had, you know, images of any, you know, gurus or anything. I never did. And I just, it just never resonated with me. And I know that it had to do with my Catholic upbringing. I remember being in church and seeing all these images, super like fucked up, you know, like Jesus dying or like killing somebody and like blood coming out or like really like disgusting things. And I remember when I had to take Bible study, I read a part of the Bible, which I know is man-made, it's not real. But I remember reading a part of the Bible that said, that Jesus said not to create any image of him or to, you know, praise to any image of him. And I was like, well, you know, why then the churches have all these images? It just doesn't make any sense. So there were parts of Hinduism that totally that didn't resonate with me because it had to do with that dogmatic part that it's just very similar to Catholicism. And since I am not religious and I feel all religions are bullshit, I didn't want to be part of any of that. So fast forward, I came back to the States and I started teaching yoga. I started becoming involved in it, you know. First, I moved to Santa Cruz and I was not teaching there. I was really involved in the yoga community there with one of the studios there that is sort of famous. I'm not sure right now. I think there's more open, but, you know, this was like the place to be, you know. This was the in yoga place. I laugh just because I guess I'm laughing at myself. I am totally laughing at myself just to think back at that. But it's okay, you know, it's part of the process and it's part of growing. They had a volunteer program, so I was part of that and I was volunteering and all my yoga classes were for free, which was great. And I was practicing, you know, all the yoga that I could, and I started becoming very, very involved with Kundalini, and it just got me, you know. I was just Kundalini out the whole time, and I bought the whole white stuff, and I was like, you know, covering my head, and I was just like Kundalini all the time. I was starting the mornings and put my Kundalini music and doing my satnam, satnam, satnam. And yeah, I was going to the festivals. I went to Shakti Fest, Bhakti Fest, and all that shit. I was going to the Kundalini festivals. I went to New Mexico. I, you know, went to Joshua Tree for everything. I was just like involved. I was like super involved in everything, you know, like yoga again was part of my life. And at that moment, you know, it was like, it felt great. When I first moved to Santa Cruz, I was actually doing very good economically. I had a good job and I was doing well. And, you know, I was able to afford all this shit. And I was so happy, you know. I had all the, everything, you know. I was able to do everything. And so that's why I was doing, you know, all these festivals, all this stuff. But then again, it just started feeling fake. I heard many conversations while I was living in Santa Cruz within the, you know, yoga community that, oh, how Santa Cruz is so diverse, how that community is so diverse. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's just only white hippies dressing in colors, but there is no people of color. There's just only a few of us, and that's it. But they wanted to believe that it was a very diverse and inclusive community. And that started hitting me. That part started, like, it started feeling weird. Again, I find myself in spaces with only white people. And that was happening in San Francisco. And then again, it was happening. And, you know, there was just a lot of, like, fluff. Oh, and all these goddess shit and all these like love and light shit. And it just started making me sick to my stomach, honestly. And slowly I started separating from it. And I went to New Mexico to this big festival, Kundalini Festival in New Mexico. They say that it's the Burning Man for Kundalini. And I just saw the hypocrisy and my blinders came off in regards to that. They were honestly like recruiting me to be part of their cult. And I just started seeing how it was a fucking cult. And the same, I started seeing the dogmatic part and the religious, you know, pressure that I experienced with Catholicism. And I was like, fuck this shit, you know? So I left it cold turkey. Another thing that I experienced was that I started becoming very close friends with some of the teachers that, you know, became like not my mentors, but I was, you know, going and taking classes with them and I really like looked up to them. I was becoming like close friends with them. And I started seeing how there was like two different personas. There was the person that when we were in the, you know, just, you know, friends hanging out, it was a completely different thing. And it was like another person, sort of like a Hollywood actress that totally be a completely different person when they were teaching. And I was like, that didn't make sense. And I'm like, well, you're not the same person. You know, you're you. Like, yes, you can teach and stuff, but, you know, you're you. One thing that I always did in my classes, because I curse, as you can hear, I cursed. I was not trying to be anybody else. I was not trying to be this, you know, person for people to look up to me and be all perfect. And then if I say fuck, they're going to be like, oh, what happened? You know, Pilar just said fuck. So I started experiencing that and I just completely let go. And then I moved to Nevada City, California, which this is where I currently live. And this place, although it has been a curse, it has been a blessing at the same time. This place, this area is definitely the twilight zone. It's either filled with baby boomers, like probably 80% of the population is all white people, baby boomers specifically, that's important to say it. And the other population is, you know, what people consider white trash, redneck people, you know, local white people, which sometimes I would much rather hang out with those people than the spiritual predators, to be honest with you. They're just like more real people. Some of them, of course, not. They're, you know, they like their Confederate flags. They love Trump and they're racist as fuck. Although the baby boomers are racist as fuck as well. They might think they're not, you know, they're like the white liberals, which are the worst. And then there is the spiritual community, you know, the ecstatic dance community, the cacao ceremony, ayahuasca ceremony, peyote ceremony people. Just weird people, in my opinion. I started teaching yoga here at home in a small studio. I started becoming involved in yoga. And there are two, you know, main studios here. I'm not gonna name them, but you can go and Google it. And I started becoming involved in all of that. And because I wanted to teach again, you know, and it was a small community. And I thought, oh, maybe I can do my thing here. You know, it's a small community. Maybe it's not as it was in San Francisco, you know, or Santa Cruz. But little did I know that actually this was going to be worse than San Francisco and Santa Cruz. So both of the owners of these two yoga studios, the main yoga studios here, were fucking assholes. One of them completely, I don't want to use the word attacked me because I don't see myself as a victim, but she went out of her way to harass me. That's the word. Actually, I'm not going to go into details into that, but I can say that what she did to me gave me grounds to sue her. To sue her and her business. And then the other one, which by the way, ironically, the two of them were partners and they opened, you know, the yoga studio has been here the longer together and then they separated, you know. According to them, one is a bitch and according to the other one, the other one is more of a bitch, but in my opinion, they're both bitches. So the second one, when I started becoming aware of all these, we all are one, love and light, and how it's really not serving anyone, I told her that I wanted to have a donation-based class, but I wanted to make it completely free for people of color. I told her, I've been teaching at your studio for 2 years and I can count with the fingers of one hand the people of color that have attended my classes. And I have had probably more people of color than anybody else because these people of color have told me that they feel more comfortable to come to my classes than with anybody else. So this needs to change. We need to create this change. And she said no. She said that she wanted to give that donation-based class to the younger white girls that had just, you know, that were just acquiring their teacher training. She told me this. We might not be diverse in color, but we are diverse in our hearts. And that's when I knew I had to leave. And that's when my whole yoga thing came down. That's when I realized I couldn't be part of a movement, of a community that was not creating a change. At the same time, it was at that moment that I was starting to become a strong voice here in my community in regards to all these white people holding cacao ceremonies and completely disrespecting my traditions, the traditions that belong to my ancestors. And I thought to myself, I cannot be a hypocrite. I cannot be here asking white people to stop appropriating my traditions to take advantage of my traditions to profit from my traditions when I am here teaching yoga. And I want to make this very, very clear. I never made a living teaching yoga in this country. Never. I never made a living in this country teaching yoga. I was always honestly inspired, or my passion was to share people all the things that I was seeing within the yoga community. I wanted for people to get in touch with their true essence and with their body, whether they're flexible or not, whether, you know, they have the yoga pants or the nice yoga mats or not. And I was sharing that. At the same time, I realized that in a way I was disrespecting yoga because I don't like any of the gods or goddesses. I don't resonate with any of that. I just said, I feel like all those images are very demonic for me. And it's like the dogmatic part, sort of like with Catholicism. I don't like the chant. I don't like any of that. So here I was picking and choosing what I wanted from that tradition, whether I agree with it or not. That's what I was doing. And one of the most important things is that here I was sharing knowledge, and I'm using my quote, you know, fingers. You cannot just see it, but sharing knowledge, but I never learned from Hindu people. I learned from white people. Except for a few books that I did buy from, of course, Iyengar and from Swami Sachidananda, all of my books have been written by white people. How could I truly share this knowledge that I learned from white people? That was a double standard. And this is why I let go of that. Today, I have no yoga books on my bookshelves. I'm actually selling them all. I have been selling anything and everything that has to do with yoga, with chakras, with images or symbols. Images, I don't have any images for symbols, anything. I have no chakra books. I don't connect with any of that. I have been connected with my own ancestry, with my own lineage, and Aztecs, Toltecas had their own system of movement and breathing. And the Cuecuellos, which is, you know, the chakras. And that's what I've been connecting with. And although it's similar, it's very different. And I feel more at peace and connected with that. I feel super connected with this. And, you know, the way that I connect with my energetic centers based on my lineage, it feels actually more in tune with myself. I feel more connected. And as I let go of all of that, the pressure also was gone. Because I realized I don't need to have anything to connect with my body and to connect with my breath. I can just walk outside, be in nature, be barefoot, move my body however I want it, breathe, and be good. I don't need to spend $100 on some fucking yoga pants that are not gonna fucking give me enlightenment or anything like that. I don't need to spend money on a chakra banner. I don't need to spend money on chakra crystals. I can just walk outside, be barefoot, and connect with earth and connect with myself and my breath. I don't need anything. I can be naked. I don't need things. And as soon as I let go of all of that, of my identity with yoga and everything that came with it, and I connected with my ancestry that is within myself, that is within the stories of my blood, life became much easier and less complicated and less cluttered. Because I don't need any of that. Yoga is an extension of this capitalistic society. And I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks, but it's true. Yoga is a multi-billion dollar industry. And anyone that is involved in the yoga industry, and I know some of my friends are, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but this is the truth. Anyone that is involved in the yoga industry is perpetuating that. When people, foreigners, and people of color who were born in this country, in the United States, Australia, Europe, when they go to other countries to attend retreats, and I'm going to concentrate in the lands that we know as Mexico, because those are my lands, and I've seen this, and I've lived this. This is my lived experience. Nobody told me about it. I didn't read it in a book or the newspaper, on a blog. This is my experience. When people go to the lands we know as Mexico to attend yoga retreats that are owned by white people, they're not helping the community. They're not helping local people. These people are just hired by white people, and they don't pay them well. They pay them the minimum. It's modern slavery. All the places where I've lived in Mexico is filled with these yoga retreats, and they're owned by white people. And some of them are owned by Mexican white people. This affects indigenous people. This affects the economy of that place. No, they didn't need jobs. They didn't need any of that. What they need is their lands to connect with the earth and to live in a sustainable way. So the yoga industry creates this problem. There's many yoga Insta famous people that from out of nowhere became famous, and they have built sort of empires around yoga. And no matter how much money they give to charity, no matter how much they're trying to be conscious, at the end of the day, they are part of this big capitalistic monster, and they perpetuate that wherever they live. Because there are some of these yoga people that they don't even live where they're from. They go to these, you know, exotic places. And although a lot of the things that I'm sharing are based on my opinions, a lot of the things that I'm sharing are based on facts as well. I have lived in two major cities in California. And I have traveled all over the states. And in every place that I found myself practicing yoga, there were many times that I was the only person of color. And I just told you, when I lived in San Francisco, I went to every single studio. And I can count with the hands of, with the fingers of one hand, the times that I probably was around other people of color. where I live right now in Mexico, there is this place called Present Moment. It's all about yoga. And it's owned by white people. It's only white people teaching. They have cacao ceremonies. And I've talked to local people about this, and they're not happy about this place. Even the people that work there, they're not happy. They charge thousands of dollars for their retreats, for per person. And employees in these places, and I'm mentioning, you know, Playa del Carmen, Tulum. There is in Oaxaca, Mazuntes, San Agustinillo. Oh my goodness, I could like name so many places. The employees of these places, they don't earn that. It's not that their lives are improving by working in a yoga retreat that charges thousands of dollars. A lot of them, they're still living their shack homes with dirt floors. They cannot send their kids to school. They don't have education, but they have a job, right? Because that's what capitalism says. Oh, but they have a job. White people are coming to these places to give opportunities because they have a job. But it's just a jerk of a circle because no, it's not improving their lives. So this is my experience with yoga. This is my experience in this country, in the yoga world. I am happy I have nothing to do with yoga. Nothing at all. I am happy that none of that is part of my space on a physical, energetical level. I am not attached. It was very easy to let go. Like I say, the experiences that I had in this town were worse than the experience I had in San Francisco and Santa Cruz, although those were bad as well. I just feel there is a lot of hypocrisy within the yoga world. And there is people that I like, and there is people that I know they're involved in yoga, and there are people of color, and I am judgmental towards them. I am. And I am judgmental because there are times that they're trying to create diversity, inclusivity, you know, as being people of color. But they're falling into that. For me, I have to do things cold turkey. If I am going to be here speaking about the injustices that my people are suffering, speaking about what happens in the lands that we know of Mexico and my experience, and if I'm going to be speaking about this and I'm going to be telling white people don't have cacao ceremonies and I'm going to be doing that, I better be walking the talk. I cannot be a hypocrite. If I'm here speaking about certain things, you know, I have to make sure that I am in alignment. So yes, as an indigenous woman, a woman of color, an immigrant to this country, I could not be part of the yoga industry, because today the yoga industry perpetuates modern colonialism throughout the world. And for white people to be benefiting from that, from white people to be traveling all over the world and be able to make a lot of money from it, I don't think it's okay. This was a very intense talk. I could go on for hours, but this is my share. I've been wanting to have this conversation for a long time and letting it out. And there will be many more of these conversations and writings and shares, because there's just so much to share in regards to the spiritual communities in this country. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. I use Instagram, and my name is At The Colonization Movement. I have a Patreon page as well. I share on Facebook, and I'm just putting myself more out there with these conversations. And I know some people are going to agree, some people are going to be offended. And if you're interested about knowing more of the people, the women that harass me here in town, you can go and look it up on Google. There's so many stories. I'm actually working on a book, and I feel I have had such a rich life full of experiences that I feel I want to share that. I want to share it to white people because I want white people to become aware of the experiences of people of color in this country. But I honestly, my main thing is to share this with people of color, with other indigenous people that feel the same way as me, and they're unable to share this, unable to share their words and speak about that. Because I do have a lot of conversations with people of color, and I know I am not the only one that feels this way. If you have any topic that you're interested to hear about, for me to talk about, just send me an email. My email is pilarmejia@thecolonizationmovement.com, and you can leave your reviews. I would really appreciate it. And yes, have a beautiful day. Adios.